New Hampshire Now is simply about the interviews.
Chris, thank you very much, and your show is fantastic. I appreciate it.
Newsmakers from the highest office of the nation to City Hall here in Concord want to join us on the New Hampshire Now program to talk about what's on their minds.
A lot of what President Franklin Roosevelt did in demonstrating great American leadership and problem-solving abilities is something that I think we should continue on and do for the future.
We seek to inform, educate, and entertain with engaging dialogue with our guests.
You know, I get a chance to talk to your wife, and I get to interview her, which I'm fixing to do in the first next time I see her.
This is New Hampshire Now.
Hey, welcome to a special weekend edition of the New Hampshire Now program as we're at Capital Sporting Goods in Concord, and honored to be here. The show sponsored by Concord Youth Hockey Association is welcome Tara Mounsey and celebrate the 20th anniversary of her winning the gold medal over in Nagano, Japan, in the Winter Olympic Games there. So she's going to join us in a few moments here on the program. It's a great sports weekend here in New Hampshire as well as in New England. Of course, New Hampshire Motor Speedway in Loudoun hosting the NASCAR playoff race on Sunday. And the Red Sox now to within six in their magic number for clinching the American League East. Patriots in action against the Houston Texans as well. So a lot going on in terms of the world of sports. We're excited to be here at Capital Sporting Goods. What's going on is people are gearing up for the youth hockey season. There is a great offer on tons of hockey equipment, and some of it used, some of it new, as we get set for the 2017-18 youth hockey campaign. And I started with my son Brennan playing hockey at the age of four, and that's generally, if you talk to, you know, whether it's professional hockey players, college hockey players, that's generally when they all start, is around the age of four. You get started with your skating. And one of the things that's really cool about our experience with the Concord Youth Hockey Association is the fact that you start, you know, playing hockey and skating at the same time. You don't kind of go through a figure skating type program and, you know, fall down and all that without your hockey equipment on. So you have your equipment on, you're completely, you know, bundled up, you've got everything on, and you start to fall down as you do when you start skating as a little kid, and it doesn't hurt. And that's one of the things that has kept Brennan going, and plus the fact you get to play in hockey games at the end of it, you do some skills, some fun contests, and so forth. So hockey is a huge part of Concord. It's a huge part of New Hampshire, and we're happy to be here celebrating one of the great sports that there is. And hockey to me has always been an amazing, amazing thing, because you have to combine so many different elements in order to be successful. You have to have the speed, the skill, the grit, the toughness, and a real edge in order to have success. And it's just a tremendous, fun sport that boys and girls, you know, can get started at a really young age, fall in love with, make friends, and build camaraderie. There's also the hockey culture, which is incredibly important. And, you know, from my years working with the Monarchs and the Los Angeles Kings organization, I mean, there is an accountability and a code that exists that is so helpful in life. You play for the team. You are a part of the team. And, you know, the weakest part of the team is also the strongest part of the team. And that's a special thing that exists within that sport, where other sports are more individualized. You know, football, you have your quarterback. That is your guy. In baseball, you're a bunch of individuals playing as a team. But in hockey, everybody is in it together. And there is, you know, an accountability, a code, and a feeling of camaraderie that exists in that sport that is special and is important throughout the course of a individual's life. This is the New Hampshire Now program, 1-9-1450 and ConcordNewsRadio.com, a special edition of it. We're at Capital Sporting Goods. We're sponsored by the Concord Youth Hockey Association as we celebrate Tara Mounsey's 20th anniversary of winning the gold medal in Nagano, Japan in 1998. I am Chris Ryan. We'll come back with more from Capital Sporting Goods after this.
You're listening to New Hampshire Now.
Speeding down the highway of magic freedom.
You're listening to New Hampshire Now.
Welcome back here on New Hampshire Now, 1-9-1450 and ConcordNewsRadio.com. It's a special edition of the program as we come to the Capital Sporting Goods today. We're with the Concord Youth Hockey Association, and the man behind the youth hockey program, Wes Riley, joins us here on the program at Capital Sporting Goods. Tara Mounds, you'll join us on the show here just a little bit. Wes, how are you?
Good morning. We're very well.
Good. Appreciate you joining us. Appreciate you having us here. It's a really fun event, and you know, it was really easy for us to get behind Concord Youth Hockey and whatever you guys want to do because of the experience that I've talked about, what Brennan had there last year as a four-year-old, and it's just a phenomenal program because of how you engage the kids, how you get them going, get them over those initial fears, and then next thing you know, they're out there, they're enjoying hockey, and hockey is just such an amazing sport.
It's a great bunch of kids. It's great to get them out there, get them back into where the hockey started, back at the Everett Arena, back in Concord. We have a lot of good parents, good coaching. We put out a lot of kids. Last year it was 137 learn to skate and intro to hockey kids last year. And we hope to keep about 120 of them still active in the sport. So it works out pretty good for us that we've got this type of a program locally, and it's affordable. That's what makes a big difference. Everybody thinks it's thousands of dollars to play hockey. No, it isn't. We can put a kid on the ice. We give them 22 hours of skating time for less than $150. And it's something that if you're growing up in New Hampshire, you've got to learn how to skate. Great winter sport. And we promote hockey as well as the whole winter sports environment. So it's a fun time.
Right, and it's what was so fun about it from Brennan's perspective is that with our older son Liam, we did another program, and it was he just went out there on the ice and they skated figure eights. He didn't have any equipment on, and he fell over and over again. And he's like, you know what? I don't want to do this. And because he wanted to, he had been around me at the Monarchs, and he wanted to play hockey. And we for whatever reason we put him in this other program. And he wasn't doing that. He didn't enjoy it. And, he kind of walked away from the sport at a young age after that. He still skates on the side every now and then, but he decided he wanted to do other things. And Brennan is hooked on hockey because he got to play hockey, or at least he, was the semblance of hockey early on. And when he fell over and over again, as each kid does, it didn't hurt because he had his hockey equipment on. He was dressed like a real hockey player. And to me, that is why one of the big reasons why this program is so good for young kids. You take away the the pain, and they look like Patrice Bergeron or Brad Marchand.
Well, eventually, like that's what we're hoping you're going to get.
Right.
But they
look like it in terms of they dress like them.
And they feel like it once you put the helmet on, you give them the stick, and you got all the equipment on. They actually look like mini Patrice Bergeron, but that's all right. We're one of the few programs, or hockey program, and that's how we teach kids how to learn to skate. Full equipment, helmet, pads, stick, gloves, the whole thing, so that when a kid does fall, it doesn't hurt and they're willing to try new things. It's not like a learn to skate program that you're not going to be playing the game. Kids will go out there with bicycle helmets. There's another program that runs at the Everett, does a great job in figure skating. But we're a hockey program, so we teach skating with a hockey mentality, and that's why the kids enjoy it. We'll throw the pucks out there. After a couple of weeks of letting the kids try and learn to skate, we'll throw the pucks out there, and it's like killer bees.
Yeah.
You take 15 to 16 kids, and they're all trying to chase one puck to throw it in the net. It gives them something to look forward to. Plus, they're thinking, they see it on TV, they'll watch a UNH game, or they'll watch a Bruins game, or they'll watch a professional hockey game, and it's, I can do that, and it gives them something to look forward to. We have two sessions. We run one from September, actually beginning of October through December, and then we run a brand new one again in January, and we run that through March. So if you can't do the first one, you can always do the second one. And some parents have their kids in soccer. I think you got one of yours playing soccer.
Yep.
And it really doesn't conflict once the soccer season's over. Second session starts in January, and there's not a whole lot going on when the snow is flying and it's 20 below. Good place to be is at the Everett Arena.
And one of the other aspects of the program, which I really like, is that it's not age-based per se. It's skill-based. And, in other programs, won't name any names, but individuals are lumped together based upon age as opposed to skill. And that's one of the things I like about your program as well, is if a kid is good enough to play at a certain level or not good enough, that is how it is judged. So take us through kind of the incremental process where, we've had a lot of parents and grandparents have reached out to me about Concord Youth Hockey Association, the Capitals, based upon the advertising we've been doing over the last couple weeks. And they've asked that, what is the progression like? Okay, the kid starts at four, so then what?
Well, let's do it this way. We won't put a kid on the ice from ages 4 to 9. Never skated before, ever, has no clue what he's doing. We'll push a 9-year-old to do a little bit more than the 4-year-old. The 9-year-old has been walking a little bit longer, may have ridden a 2-wheeler, so now he's got an idea that he's got some balance. So we'll push them along so that we can get them moving. The whole intent of that 4 to 9 learn to skate is to get the kids independent and on control on their skates with a hockey mindset. Once they get independent, which means they can skate forwards, they have some sort of an idea of how to stop, and we start teaching them how to skate backwards, then we can put them into the actual intro to hockey program. And that's completely separated as well. And again, not age-based. We can have kids as young as 4 and as old as 9 in that as well. We start teaching them the game, how to pass, how to stick handle, how to shoot, how to play with others. Because in learn to skate, you're doing the individual skill part.
Right.
Intro to hockey is more playing with a group of kids and learning the team part of the game. Once they get through that, we'll put them actually on an internal, we call it Dynamites. Again, ages more so geared towards 6 to 9-year-olds. We'll stick them in an internal program where they'll actually be on a team, they'll practice as a team, and they'll actually play games as a team. So that instead of just doing some cross-ice stuff and throwing pucks out and watching the killer bees, they'll actually go out and play on a team, and they'll have a team color, they'll have a team name. And at the end of the year, we graduate them, I'll call it, by having what we call the Tarzan Healy tournament. And we'll do a complete tournament environment, announcing names, announcing goals, and you ought to just see the little kids beam when they get their name announced that they've scored a goal or got an assist.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a whole progression from age 4 to 9. So a kid could start at age 4 in a learn to skate, and then maybe by Christmas he'll get the infamous green tape. That's I guess now turned into some sort of a trophy. I'll go to a little guy or a little girl and tell them that they've graduated to the next level. So I put a piece of green tape on their helmet, so they've been green striped, and they keep that on there like it's a badge of honor that they've graduated to the next level. So it's kind of fun to watch them progress, and they want to see that. So you do it in front of the other kids,
right?
We green stripe. I don't know if I think we may have green striped your son last year.
He hasn't quite made it yet.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so he'll get green striped this year, and he'll probably have you keep that piece of tape that's on the top of his helmet. But yeah. The kids know what they need to do, and what we do is separate them by skill when we put them in groups on the ice. So we could have 40 kids on the ice, but we're going to split them up into groups of 7 or groups of 8. And work with them, with our coaches, individually on specific skills. So it's just not throwing 40 kids on the ice and say, you're on your own.
So the internal program runs from ages 4 to 9, and then once you get to 9, that's when travel begins?
Correct. We start travel hockey at ages, actually, we've got kids playing travel hockey at age 7.
Based upon the skill set.
Again, it's all based on how fast they progress.
Right.
It has nothing to do with the actual age. When you get into travel hockey is where the age comes in. And that's where you get kids at ages 9 to 10 is one group. That's called squirts. 11, 12 is called peewees. 13, 14, bantams, and so forth. So once you get into the travel end of it, because you're playing other teams from other towns, you want it to be like in kind. So you want to try and do it. And we're one of the few programs that's got multiple level skill type teams. So if you get into travel hockey, our squirt 1 team is going to be the best ages 9, 10 kids. Our squirt 2 team is going to have the mid-level skills. Our squirt 3 team has got skills they need to work on to get to the upper level. So we don't do it by age at the travel level. We're doing it strictly by skill level again. In fact, as I talk, I see one of my squirt players, my squirt 1 players. Good morning, Mr. Mounsey.
So there he is. That's Wes Riley joining us here on the program, Concord Youth Hockey Association. We are at Capital Sporting Goods in Concord as we celebrate the start of the hockey season. And so let's continue on the progression path. And you go through, as you mentioned, all the different aspects and different levels. So the kid continues to progress, and there's the great, you know, debate that's ensued about whether a kid should go to juniors, whether they should do high school, and so forth. And we've seen, you know, obviously more kids tend to go on the junior program. We saw actually Tim Schaller played 1 year of high school hockey, which is very rare for an individual who plays Division One Division One college, and then ended up obviously going to the pros and is now with the Bruins. But it seems like we've seen a transition from, as we'll take John Rowe as an example, where he went to Bishop Brady High School, but you know, never stepped foot on the ice for a Bishop Brady hockey game.
Correct.
So what happens after after they go through the Concord Capitals program? When do you start to see kids, you know, transition into the juniors?
Juniors, originally the intent of juniors was, is you went there after you played high school. And you went to a junior program as prep for college so that the college scouts could see you and so forth. And again, it's a natural progression. When you go to high school, you have 40, 50 kids try out, and you're going to select the top 20. Nowadays, it's the kids that want to try out play. There's a junior team for every skill level at the high school level. And that's a problem, because now what you're doing is you're telling a kid that, yes, he might have the opportunity to be looked at by a UNH or by a Dartmouth or, you know, getting down into the D2, D3, St. A's, NEC, Plymouth. And some of these junior programs are offering some false hopes for some of these kids.
And they're very expensive.
And $8,000 to play juniors. And kids now are sold on the fact that, why bother playing high school hockey when I can play juniors, because that's a more direct shot to a college scholarship. And again, you've got the mindset, we're going to get money to play.
Right.
So we'll pay the $8,000 so I don't have to pay the $30,000 tuition.
Right.
And, you know, if you look at it, I think the statistics were, nationwide, it was 180 American kids got D1 college scholarships, and the average age for them was 21, 22 years old.
Right.
So everybody thinks they've got to go the junior route in order to go there. The rule of thumb with most of your coaches that you talk to that aren't junior coaches, prep school, high school coaches, and so forth, is when you dominate the league you're in, it's time to move on. You'll find an elevated level of hockey to play in, and if you are good enough there and you dominate play in that league, you move on. There's always a step up that you can go to, but if you're a kid that's a second liner playing for Bishop Brady boys hockey, and all of a sudden you want to transition to junior hockey, yeah, you're going to probably play a junior C,
right?
Junior C level.
And you're not
paying $8,000, $9,000 for
And you're
what?
Not going. You're not getting into Division III.
Yeah,
hockey.
You're not going to be going D1 hockey.
And that's one of the problems that I have, is that you have these entities that are out there that, in my view, will create false hopes, as you mentioned. And I can, from years working with the Monarchs and covering sports, I mean, I'm pretty good at evaluating talent. And there was, you know, several great hockey players that I've seen, come through the high school ranks here, and during that time period, the best we'd see is Division III, and that's the best kid and the best best high school player, one of the best high school players are in the state. So if you are not an elite player on your high school team, you are not going to most likely make it into a Division III hockey program, little on the scholarship side of things. And you referenced the numbers there. I mean, is there what parents are paying for, in my view, whether it's in hockey, baseball, or basketball, is they think that there's going to be this magical scout or recruiter who's going to be there, and they're going to see their kid, and they're like, wow, I like that kid. He's got something that nobody else has. And they're going to recruit, because what you're paying for is the opportunity to be seen. Because the
that's a lot of it, yeah.
Yeah, there's the opportunity to be seen by the – if you're in a juniors program, New Hampshire, as we've heard from Matt Bonner and Ben Lovejoy and others, and Jeff Locke, it's very difficult to be recruited and recognized in New Hampshire as an athlete because there's not a huge talent pool. So you have to be a part of all-star teams, junior teams, in order to and have a recruiter or a scout who is looking at somebody else.
Well, New Hampshire hockey. New Hampshire hockey has New Hampshire amateur hockey through USA Hockey has what basically is an all-star program, an all-star selection program. They call it festival, or they'll call it the national camps, national development camp type things. They'll take the 15 best at that age level and send them to a development camp run by USA Hockey, mm-hmm. run and operated by prep school coaches, college coaches, and USA Hockey professional coaches. And if a kid doesn't make that, I mean, where do you... So I'm going to say that the top 15-year-olds are going to be selected now. A few years back, I coached that team. Those 15-year-olds now are in prep school. They're playing at some of the local prep schools, Phillips, Exeter, St. Paul's, Tilton, Proctor, and so forth. Now, the next level for them is to get recruited by a college coach. But they may have to leave prep school. They do their 4 years at prep school, maybe do a post-grad year. And then they'll have to pick up a junior. But you're talking about a junior at age 20, 21.
Right.
To go out and play at that elevated junior A level is where your D1 players are going to come from.
Right.
But a lot of the junior players right now are playing in junior C's, and they hope to elevate to junior B's.
Right.
And that's where you get the 16-year-old or the 17-year-old who's chasing the dream. And mom and dad are going to put the kid in a junior program before it's time.
Right, I agree. I mean,
and
if you're not in junior A, you're not in. You know, you're not
that's
in
it.
Junior. And I think that, as you referenced, you know, I think given a couple years of high school is important. If you're lucky enough to, you know, to be recruited by Phillips Exeter or St. Paul's, obviously you go there if you get the opportunity and you have the potentially a scholarship or the funding to do so. But to me, junior isn't really meant for the freshman or sophomore unless that is a elite player. Unless, as you mentioned, it is the best player on the team, his team, and he stands out.
The president of Concord Youth Hockey, Mick Mounsey, his sister was Tara Mounsey.
We'll hear from him in a second here on the show.
Mick played his freshman year at Concord High School.
Yes, he did. Yep.
Very, very dominant player as a freshman. Wound up going to Avon Old Farms in Connecticut as a sophomore.
Where Jonathan Quick played and others.
Yep. Exactly. Was dominant down there. Got picked up by UNH and was a four-year player at UNH D1. But he dominated schoolboy hockey, NHIAA D1 for Concord High School as a freshman. And that's when he went on to the next level. So these are the things that kids need to look like. There's a kid by the name of Harrington that went to Bishop Brady.
Brooks Harrington, yeah.
And wound up dominating D1 hockey.
Yep.
Wound up going down playing for the Junior Monarchs, A-level junior squad, while he was still in high school.
Yep.
Picked up UVM.
Yep.
Wound up at UVM. Those are the types of kids, those are the success stories. Once you dominate a league you're in, it's time to move on and move up. And that's where some of these people just, I mean, well, again, I'm coming from a youth hockey environment. I'm not coming from anything outside of a youth hockey. I mean, I spend my time working with four-year-olds up to 15, 16-year-olds because we've got what we call a midget program, which is for our high school players mm-hmm. that play locally. I deal with that. I've seen the politics. I deal with New Hampshire Amateur Hockey. I'm also on their board. And see the kids that play the junior levels. And here's some of the horror stories about playing junior C's and junior B's and the travel and the craziness to spend $8,000-$9,000. It's just, it's unbelievable.
In concluding, you know, I have some experience in youth coaching, and I can sympathize with what you must go through from a president's perspective and dealing with all of that. But yeah, I mean, once you get to the point where you are, as a parent, investing significant money and you see you're looking at it from an investment perspective, the fun has gone out of it for everybody, too.
Well,
I mean, because if the kid's in C and you're paying $9,000 and the goal's to get to B and he has a bad practice and you're looking at your investment as an investment, I'm putting $9,000 down here for hopes that I don't have to pay $120,000 for college. it kind of changes the whole dynamic of what it should be.
I'm going to take it down a different pathway, which is, you know, and again, return on investment. And I'll use it from the point of view is kids in high school that aren't the best. Kids that are in high school playing hockey for the fun of it.
Right.
What I call future beer leaguers, the guys that play at 9:30, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday type guys that play the sport because it's fun.
Yeah.
Now, if I tell a parent he's got to spend $1,500 to let the kid play in our league just to keep the kid busy, you know where he is on a Friday night. You know where he is on a Saturday night. You know what friends he's hanging with because he's hanging with the same 15 kids that he's grown up with and played hockey with locally. Now, and then I give the parent the ultimate choice. I'm going to have your kid at the Everett Arena on a Friday night until 9:45. Gets off the ice at 9:20 as a 16-year-old. Winds up getting out of the showers by 10 o'clock. He gets in his car at 10:10 to go home. How much trouble can he get into if he's got an 11 o'clock curfew on a Friday night? Not a whole lot. But now I take that same kid and I turn him loose at 7 o'clock at night or 8 o'clock at night. And who knows what his crowd is because how often, how interactive are you with your 16 or 17-year-old? And I use this as my benchmark. A lawyer, a good defense lawyer, costs $400 an hour. It only takes your kid to get into trouble once, and you've blown through that $1,500. And now, where's it go? But now you're picking your kid's friends, you know who your kid's hanging with, and for the most part, my son is 29 years old. The kids he played hockey with at age 9, one of them was the best man at his wedding, and he's been hanging with his high school hockey buddies for the last 20 years.
Yeah.
And it's that same group of friends. Because you spend so much time at the rink, you're so much time in the locker room, sleepovers, and all the fun part of the game of being part of a team. And it comes out a lot. You're making an investment in the kid to be a good citizen, too. It's just not you're going to look at a return on investment in college.
Yeah. And in concluding, you know, we've talked a lot on the program in regards to, you know, the political side of things, what's going on with the opioid crisis in New Hampshire, and the significance of entities like yours, Concord Northeast Baseball, the YMCA, because one of the most important things that can happen is to divert kids at a young age, whether they're in an at-risk environment at home or whether they could potentially use drugs in the future based upon who they hang out with. And having children involved in youth sports or chorus or dance or whatever
it is. It doesn't make any difference.
Outside, right.
Yeah, exactly. It's an outside social function, whether it's athletics or whether it's, anything to do, right down to a chess club.
Right.
It's the kids are doing something outside of the home that the parents know who they're doing it with.
And they have purpose, meaning.
And normally there's an adult that's going to be supervising it, and there's an adult that's going to know where your child is all the way straight through. So if your kid gets active into something at age 7, 8, and 9, they'll start probably active with it all the way through high school, and they'll pick their friends from there. They'll have the same basic adults as long as you're working on a local basis. Again, Concord's kind of a great program, great town to be in because we offer all the major sports and we offer it as a town program.
Right.
And for the most part, the locals get involved in the town program.
Yep.
So whether it's the Y or the Boys and Girls Club or Concord Youth Hockey, the Little League, lacrosse, Concord Crush Lacrosse, you've got the same group of kids that hang around together all year long. They play hockey together.
Yeah.
It makes a big difference in the environment of the child all the way up through in the formative years into high school. And then into high school, if they're hanging with their hockey buddies down at the Everett Arena for 26 weeks, you know they're not probably doing a whole heck of a lot other than what they have to do for school and what they have to do for hockey. It doesn't leave a lot of other social time to get into trouble.
All right, that is Wes Riley with the Concord Youth Hockey Association. He is the program coordinator, the man who gets it done for Concord Youth Hockey. And again, we've had such a tremendous time. Brennan's excited about lacing it up again coming up in October. And we appreciate you having us down here, and looking forward to talking Tower Up next.
We appreciate it, and I'll just say one thing. No, Chris Ryan is not one of those hockey parents yet.
Yeah, not yet, but I'm getting there.
Well, I don't know.
I could work on it.
Mrs. Ryan might be on her way, but I won't say that now.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. Mrs. Ryan has that taken care of. I will leave her, go to the forefront, and I'll step into the backdrop in regards to hockey. We'll come back with more here on Hampshire Now after this. We're at the Capital Sporting Goods here in Concord. Help if I knew where we were. And we're with Concord Youth Hockey Association celebrating Tower Mounds' 20th anniversary of winning the Olympic gold medal at the Nagano Olympic Games in 1998. And she joins us up next here on the New Hampshire Now program.
You're listening to New Hampshire Now.
Heart is a blue. Shoots up through the stony ground. There's no room, no space to rent in this town. You're out of luck, and the reason that you had to care, the traffic is stuck, and you're not moving anywhere. You thought you found a friend to take you out of this place. Someone you can lend a hand in return for grace. It's a beautiful day.
You're listening to New Hampshire Now.
Welcome back here on New Hampshire Now. 1-9-1450 and ConcordNewsRadio.com is a company from Capital Sporting Goods in Concord celebrating Tara Mounds' 20th anniversary of winning the gold medal at the Nagano Olympic Games, and here with Concord Youth Hockey Association. Tara, great to see you.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for having me, Chris. This is really a wonderful event, and it's nice to see all these young athletes coming out and getting an autograph or two and spending some time at Everett Sports, which is really just a great, great store.
And Wes Riley was joining us previous, and you know, we were talking about kind of the growth of the Concord Youth Hockey Association. And you look back to 1996 when you won state championship at Concord High playing on the boys' team, and now you see the growth of youth hockey, particularly amongst girls. And that must be a pretty special thing for you to see how the sport has been popularized here in New Hampshire and really across the country. And I think a lot of it has to do with your team in 98.
Yeah, it is. It's really nice. You know, I'm signing autographs here today at the sports store, and it's really, really special to see young girls. I'm looking at a young girl right now. Her name's Elizabeth. She's heading to a game this afternoon, and she's wearing a Concord Capitals jersey, and she's playing on the girls' team. I mean, that just didn't exist when I was playing, and I played with the boys, and it worked out great. But to see these young girls with local opportunity is really special.
Absolutely. And, you know, as I've heard about and talked about you in the past, and so many people will say not only, was Tara Mounds' a great girls' hockey player, which is one of the best hockey players the state has ever seen. And obviously, you were the state MVP in 1996 as well. And I think that's, that's something that is incredibly significant, is that you are not only one of the, you were one of the great athletes the state has seen. What does that mean?
Yeah, so I think it means, first of all, I'm lucky. I'm lucky to have been born with a really good athletic ability, but I'm also very thankful for my family and mom and dad to instill a work ethic, and I was able to focus and capitalize on something, an ability that I'm lucky to have. And hopefully, as my role as a retired athlete is to help these young kids learn how to work hard, regardless of their talent.
What were the challenges that you faced? And because you're not only, a great athlete, but also a trailblazer for the young girls that are here today. And you created the environment, in my view, that they're, able to participate and thrive in because you knocked down the door. You're one of those types of individuals, a historic type figure. What were the challenges that you faced? And did you see yourself kind of setting a groundwork, and when did you start to kind of acknowledge that?
Yeah, so I think, starting at a very young age and just showing up the rink as a strong female athlete in person is something that, building awareness. These young boys and their dads in the stands, I'm not out there and I'm out there because I'm good, and
right.
It doesn't matter that I'm male or female. And honestly, Chris, we've got a long ways to go, still in this world today. So I think that we're still trying to knock down walls and doors and say, listen, we're strong and we deserve everything that the boys deserve. And I was just looking online at the new Boston College women's locker room,
mm-hmm.
and it's the same as the men's.
Yep.
And that was... I know it doesn't seem like a big deal to a lot of people, but that's a big deal that
right,
you know,
you're not treated
are,
like a JV team.
Not,
right.
Exactly. You're not getting the men's leftover locker room.
Right.
The women's teams are now getting same as the men's. Same ice time. You know, I'm on the board of directors for the youth program in my local town, and we're fighting for ice time that's the same as the boys. You know, don't put the girls in the morning. You know, it alternate. So it's really still battling for equality, but I think we're making progress.
Was there ever a moment where you know, whether as a kid or as you moved along, where you're like, I don't want to do this? Or was there always the drive and the dedication, I am one of the best hockey players, no matter what the venue is, and I'm just going to continue to move forward?
Yeah, I think the hardest thing was seeing friends that maybe didn't have to skate extra. You know, my dad was an intense trainer, if you will, and I'd be at the rink and my friends would be skiing and I wouldn't be able to do sleepovers because I had to get up early.
Yeah.
At the time, you know, that's frustrating, and there were days where, like, I just want to be a kid and not do all those things. And now looking back and as an adult, I'm like, oh, I had a pretty special career, and,
right.
and a lot of it was because of some of the sacrifices that were made.
That's Tara Mounsey joining us here at Capital Sporting Goods, celebrating the 20th anniversary of her winning the gold medal in Nagano, Japan. And, you know, time is a strange thing. Like, sometimes you're talking about someone 20 years ago, and it feels like yesterday. Like, I'm sure the memories are very fluid of what
Absolutely.
It was like and so forth. But it also, I'm sure, in a lot of ways feels as though it was 20 years ago.
Yeah, there are moments. Yeah, I step into a rink, and I'm like, just yesterday I was playing youth hockey in, you know, the Everett Arena. Every time I step in there, it does not feel like 20 years ago. But and then, you know, days at the gym, I'm like, oh, it was 20 years ago.
What are the memories that stand out most for you in 98? We'll talk about 98 and, you know, 2002 as well. Obviously, when the silver medal in 2002, and that was in Salt Lake City, and a very, you know, memorable Olympics as well. In 98, what are the memories that that stand out the most for you in terms of winning the gold medal, but also the Olympic experience in its entirety?
Yeah, I was just explaining the Olympic Village to a family, and it was really, it's a really special place to be in the Olympic Village because you're with athletes from around the world, and everyone's the same, and you see, like, okay, you're from, you know, halfway around the world, and we're the same. You know, it really is all about this global, you know, awareness, and no one's different than anyone
mm-hmm.
else, and that's really special. That's what the Olympics are all about. But it's you know, what I remember most personally is how well our team worked as a team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our camaraderie was amazing. We weren't expected to win, but we won because we did it as an entire team. We didn't have anyone that was out there trying to get the most points. Didn't matter. We just supported one another.
That's one of the awesome things about hockey. You know, I was mentioning, you know, that in the open and covering, you know, a lot of baseball with the Red Sox and doing the Monarchs games for years and so forth. Like, there's something that is different about hockey than the other sports, in that there's this accountability and this code and this family that exists together, where everyone either pulls from the same rope or is called back in. Where I remember, you know, Dean Lombardi, when there was an issue with the Kings and Daryl Sutter, and they locked Daryl Sutter out of the locker room, and he's like, well, you know, that's the way the boys decided to handle that situation. And that's, you know, there's this group that is together and demands accountability of each other. And it's such a lesson, I think, for life, where you know, you have young kids as a part of a group, and it allows for them to really learn about you know, the way life works. And the lessons learned in hockey, to me, are, you know, lessons that make good people.
Yeah, they make good people. They make good friends, good teammates, good family members. And it takes everyone. Hockey is unique in that sense of, you can only be on the ice for a minute, sometimes 30 seconds, and you're going to get off.
And you got to maximize
soccer,
your impact.
You can stay out there the whole time. Basketball, you can stay out there almost the whole time. And, you know, so I have to go out there, do my job, and I have to feel confident that whoever is taking my place is going to do their job. So, yeah, that accountability and that sense of, I can't do this alone.
So going into the 2002 Olympics, you had, you know, won the gold medal in 98. So obviously there's more expectations for your team going into 2002. It's in America, obviously, in Salt Lake City. What was the kind of the all-encompassing feelings in regards to that Olympics?
Yeah, that Olympics had a lot of distractions, a lot of expectations, and that team, frankly, was different. couple more players on that team that were more all about their own points and success rather than the team, and that just didn't bode well. So that was the biggest difference. And you know, September 11th was the
right
September before those games, and
there were questions about Salt Lake City, and Mitt Romney came in kind of at the end and was able to stabilize the whether or not the games were going to take place, as I remember.
Yeah,
as well.
It was a very unsettling environment, and you know, we fell short, but I have a silver medal. You know, I don't think there's any tear that needs to be shed over that. That's still a very, very special experience, and I'm thankful for both of my Olympic experiences. You know, the other thing, Chris, I want to touch on is I just want to make sure, I mean, I am so thankful for the community,
yeah.
You know, the Concord community, supporting my family to get to especially Japan, and just to support, you know, my career as a from a toddler all the way through high school. And it's Concord's a very special community, and you know, from the bottom of my heart, I thank all of you that are listening, and anyone that's not listening, I hope you get the message.
And that's been, you know, one of the things as well where I started, you know, here at the WKXL 10 years ago, and, you know, learning about you from people, and Dave Bonner, you know, this individual told me a lot about, you know, Tara Mounsey, and, you know, there's that kind of the families, the sports families in Concord are the Bonners and the Mounseys, and there has always been this real community support that, you know, with me doing the show with Matt for his entire career, and, you know, hearing about you, you know, all the people who used to go down on the Bonner bus to see Matt play in Boston when he was with the Raptors at first, and then the Spurs after that, and, you know, the support that everyone showed you when you made the Olympics. I mean, it's a tremendous community that rallies around individuals when they need it the most.
Yeah, it is. It's Concord is a very special community, and, you know, I can say it may not have been as successful if I didn't grow up here. You know, the youth program, soccer, baseball, football, lacrosse, all of these, you know, grassroots level programs are well run, and people are volunteering their time, and Concord, you know, moms and dads aren't afraid to volunteer their time,
yeah,
for the betterment of our youth population.
And, you know, as we've talked about a lot on the political side of things, there's, you know, a drug crisis that's going on in the state, and one of the most important things that can be done to combat that is to have young folks, whether at risk or not at risk, to be a part of youth sports. And whether it's the Concord Rec Department, whether it's what West does with Concord Youth Hockey Association, we've had good experiences with Concord Northeast Baseball. Everybody has a role in providing structure and meaning in young people's lives. And hockey, you know, I'm sure if you had not been a part of hockey, there may have been other things that presented themselves.
Yeah, who knows? Hockey is a very long long season, and it keeps kids busy, and I think that's really important. There's other activities too. You have gymnastics, you have dance, you have, you know, singing, whatever these kids are interested in. I think as a parent, you just have to keep these kids moving and going and doing things that they love to do.
Well, Tara, thanks a lot. We'll let you get back to
all
signing
right.
Some autographs
thanks
and
a lot,
taking
Chris.
Some pictures. It's Tara Mounsey
right.
Here joining us on New Hampshire Now. We're at Capital Sporting Goods in Concord. This show presented by the Concord Youth Hockey Association. We'll come back with more after this.
You're listening to New Hampshire Now.
Well, I came home like a stone, and I fell heavy into your arms. These days of darkness, wish we'd have known, will blow away with this new sun. But I'll kneel down, wait for now. And I'll kneel down, know my ground. And I will wait, I will wait.
You're listening to New Hampshire Now.
Welcome back here on New Hampshire Now. With I-1450 and ConcordNewsRadio.com, we continue at Capital Sporting Goods. We're celebrating Tara Mounsey's 20th anniversary of winning a gold medal. We have a number of youth hockey players here with us as we wrap things up. Coming up next here on WKXL, it's Off the Record with former Congressman Paul Hodes, and we'll get to that in just a second. First off, tell me your name and a little bit about your hockey career.
My name is Elizabeth Clark. I play for the U10 Hockey Girls, and we're going to Saugus, Massachusetts in a few hours.
So what has youth hockey meant to you? Like, how much do you enjoy going to the rink each day? I mean, Tara mentioned you during the last interview. But how much does it mean to you?
It means a lot to me because I love hockey, and it's like a Clark family tradition.
Uh-huh. So your parents both played?
My dad and my brother and my uncle played.
So cool. So you're kind of following along the line of them and playing hockey yourself. That's awesome. One of the things that Wes mentioned before runs the program is that over the last 10 years, there's been a huge increase in the amount of girls who play hockey. So that's really awesome that you're a part of things. So we'll move over to Mike, right?
Yeah.
So tell me about it. It's your Tara's nephew, right?
Nephew.
Yep. So so your whole family's been involved in this for a while. Tell me about your hockey.
Okay, I play for the Concord Capitals. We have a game tomorrow.
Yep.
And I don't know where, somewhere in Mass. No. Hugget.
Yep.
So, at 9:50.
Awesome. So how much do you enjoy being a part of, you know, the team? And how many, you know, friends do you have on the team? Do you hang out off the ice?
I basically played with these kids since learned to skate all the way up to court.
How awesome is that?
It's like, yeah, because I know all of them. We only have one newcomer this year.
Cool. And what's your name?
My name's Jules. I play for Concord Capitals U12 girls. And I've been playing since as long as I can remember with Concord. I've never played with anyone else. And I don't plan on moving anywhere else.
And she's your teammate?
We played last year together. But
okay.
Teammates at heart.
And tell me about how much do you enjoy playing hockey?
I love playing hockey. It's like my main sport. I played soccer a little bit, but I don't play anymore. So hockey's my main sport. When I get the break, I always do like Plymouth skating, Tri-Town, try to skate as much as I can during the summer.
Awesome. And what's your name?
My name's Annabelle.
And are you on their team or
what? I'm on Abby's team.
Abby's team? Okay. And so everybody's playing now? You guys have already started or
mm-hmm.
Okay, so the season's already started for you guys.
Yeah.
What position do you play?
Wing and maybe, like, if I'm lucky, center.
Nice. Center's where pretty much everybody wants to play. Face offs, kinda control the play. F3, go back. You guys know what F3 is?
Mm-hmm.
Nice. So, yeah, so that's pretty awesome. So thank you all for coming out, and we'll catch up with you. And we're glad you guys enjoy hockey, and keep playing, all right? All right, this is New Hampshire Now as we come to you from Capital Sporting Goods in Concord. I am Chris Ryan. We'll get now to Off the Record with Paul Hodes. Thanks so much to Tara Mounsey for spending some time with us. And it was great being down here and celebrating the 20th anniversary of her winning the gold medal. Concord Youth Hockey Association, one of the great sports entities in the Capital Region. We encourage you to get your youngster involved as well.
You're listening to New Hampshire Now. I was a footer.